All right, let's go ahead and get started today here. John 18. All right, we're getting ready to see the fulfillment of prophecy. 17 books. We're getting ready to see why Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. And we're getting ready to see God's amazing grace. Amen. That Jesus came down here, died on the cross, that we may have the right to the tree of life. In relationship to understanding what Jesus is saying here in John chapter 18, as we've been talking about here, especially verse number 11, when Jesus says, "Put up the sword into the sheath, the cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it?" What a powerful question. I thank God that he drank it, amen. That you and I may have the right to the tree of life, that we may really understand what is the will of the Lord. So we're glad about that as we study God's word. So let's go ahead and begin tonight, John chapter 18. And I'm going to go back to verse 5. I want to give you a word that I want you to look at in relationship to what Jesus said. When the Bible talks about in verse 4, Jesus therefore knowing all things, the omnipotent and omniscient mind of God that should come upon him, and that he knew why he came. And you know, it's good to know why we're here, amen. It's good to know why we're here tonight, amen. That we can come together, John 4:24, to worship God in spirit and in truth, especially the importance of the Lord's Day and even tonight. Knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, "Who seek ye?" And they answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus said unto him, and that's why I want you to write, here's the word here. It's E-G-O, E-G-O, E-I-M-I. That I am God, or I am the divine side in relationship to who God is. And tie that to some scriptures here. And that's found over in the book of Ezekiel. We don't have time to go there. Chapter 1 and verse number 28. Ezekiel 1:28 and Daniel 10:9. But in the book of Revelation, chapter 1 and verse 17, we see the omnipotent God in verse 17. When he said, "Fear not, I am the first and the last." See, I am God, I am God, I am Jesus of Nazareth in relationship to who God is. And you know, that would be a good study if you look at that E-G-O-E-I-M-I relationship to seeing who God is. In relationship seeing, because I'm convinced that a lot of people don't know who God is. They say they know, but they don't know based upon their action in relationship to who God is in relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. And sometimes we don't understand what he's talking about. And I wanted to make that point tonight a little bit more in relationship to understanding what is the will of the God. So that's E-G-O-E-I-M-I in relationship to I am the divine side. That is, I am the first and the last. That he is God. That is from the beginning. He was there from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And that is that through Jesus, amen, in relationship to he being the head of the church. Ephesians 1:22-23, in relationship to understanding who is the will of God. So then he went on to say, "As soon then as he has said unto them, I am he." Underline that word, I am he. He who? Jesus, amen. He who is Jesus? Jesus of Nazareth. Why Jesus? Because Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. So they went backwards and fell. They went backwards and fell to the ground in relationship to the awesomeness of God. That God is so often awesome that when we reject him, we fall. Romans chapter 8, and go there right quick. Verse number 1, I want to show you a point here. And I want to contrast it between that of the flesh and that of the spirit. Amen. Because I am he, Jesus of Nazareth. In Romans 8:1, He talked about there, therefore, not no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, walking not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak, see, through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Look what he said. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So you see a contrast to those who asked that question, or those who was antagonistic, or those who saw Jesus in a fleshly way. They fell backward to condemnation based on what we sow. That is, that when we sow is what we reap. See, where you sow it toward the Spirit or the flesh, amen, it brings condemnation because of the awesomeness of God. You have some time to think about God. I mean, just sit down and meditate on who God is and just look around and see the awesomeness of God just in nature. Just in things that we come in contact, we just take for granted. You know, like the air we breathe, the rain, the sun, the moon. See, the stars, creation. To see the awesomeness of God in creation, how God, even through our reading, see how God literally can just open up and consume, allow snakes to bite, or whatever it may be. The awesomeness of God, to see that God is in total control, but that control is based upon how we receive him. You understand what I'm saying? They received him in a negative way, and the Bible said that they fell backwards instead of forward. So we worship God when we praise God. See, we do it in spirit and in truth, but we do it as we look unto Jesus. Not backwardly, but we do it as we look unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. See, and that's the point that I think that he's saying here. As soon then as he has said unto them, I am he that went backwards and fell to the ground. And I like that word, that's the awesomeness of God. See, Romans 15:4, whatsoever things are written aforetime, written for our learning. That's the principle that we should learn. Go with me to Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to give you another verse to reemphasize that principle. And there are many, many principles to understand that. But in Galatians chapter 6, we see it again here. Galatians chapter 6. See, we see the law of reciprocity and work in relationship to the awesomeness of God. See, in Galatians chapter 6, see, it's a simple principle. See, in verse 7, see, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, how we sow. See, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh, shall the flesh reap what? Corruption. See what I mean? It causes us to do what? Fall backwards. You understand what I'm saying? That is that when we're not in the Spirit, see, we're not a friend of God. See, what sin is, God is what? See, a relationship. So sometimes when we sin, how we sow, see, is how we're going to reap in relationship to the concept that he's talking here. See, I think that's a good concept that we should know and never forget the awesomeness of God. Because sometimes we forget and we begin to trust things of the world. We talked about that on Sunday morning. Amen. 1 Timothy 6, Brother Fred, you brought out so beautifully. See how we brought nothing in and going to take nothing out. See, in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. Why would you serve something that you're not going to keep? But here we got an awesome God, amen, that we call Father. That he is our Father. That I am the first and the last. I am Jesus of Nazareth. See, and that's what he told them. See, to the point that when they approached him, even though the approach was in line with scheme of redemption. See, because all through the 17 books of prophecy, it had been prophesied about Jesus drinking of the cup in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. Because see, over in verse 13, that cup did no suffering. And let me give you some verses. We don't have time to go there, but let me give them to you anyway. Psalm 75 and verse 8. It's the wrath of God. See, the no suffering, and that's what he's talking about. Same thing in the Garden of Eden. When Jesus said, that if possible, let this cup pass from me. See, that cup of suffering, see, that Jesus had to endure in order for you and I to have the right to the tree of life. Isaiah 51, 17 through 22. Jeremiah 25, 15 to 29. Lamentation chapter 4 and 21. I'm going too fast. But let me slow it down. Psalm 75 and verse 8. I'm sorry. Isaiah 51, 17. Jeremiah 25, 15. Lamentation 4, 21. Ezekiel 23 and 31. And let's go to Revelation 14. But it all denotes the awesomeness of God, that is, that he is, I am Jesus of Nazareth, that is, he is an awesome God in relationship, that he came to drink the cup of suffering that you and I may have the right to the tree of life. And you know, that's that show. Who else could have drunk that cup of suffering in order to bring the wrath to all mankind other than Jesus? Who else could have done it? Other than Jesus. And let me give you an antitype. Guess what? Even in the Old Testament worship, we've been studying about the tabernacle, haven't we? In relationship to the thing that they had to do, in relationship to the showbread, in relationship to all the things that had to be done, specifically described, amen, even in the book of Leviticus, and we're going to see in the book of Deuteronomy, amen. He gave a beautiful lesson Sunday night on that concept, amen, in relationship to the consequences for obedience versus disobedience. And what you talked about? See, in relationship with that same concept, it had to be done in order for it to be a good cup of suffering. Same thing, the Lord's Supper, amen, of the old is tabernacle, am I right? See, the atonement, the showbread, see, study that. You'll see that even when you get in Deuteronomy. You understand what I'm saying? Well, under the grace and truth, amen, because he did drink of the cup of suffering, because I am Jesus of Nazareth. Who can say that other than Jesus? Who can say that? See, it don't make sense. How many of y'all got the article the other day on the origin of denominationalism? The one we met out on yesterday. See, it read the whole thing. In relationship to how it came about, even the wording to denominate, to mean divisive. If you read the article, it's in your email. We sent it out yesterday morning. Amen. But see, that concept to denominate, to divide, will be a violation. It will be a principle of not gratitude, Brother Frazier, for Jesus even drinking of the cup. Amen. Go to Revelation 14. I want to show you something. Revelation 14, 10. And let's look at that right quick. Y'all with me? In Revelation chapter 14 and 10, and if you're there, denote 16, 19, too. Okay? If you have Revelation 14, 10, denote 16, 19. Because in 16, 14, 10, see, in relationship to what Jesus said, will you not forbid me to drink the cup? See, based on your action? Amen. He said here, he said, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, and in the presence of the Lamb. Amen. Here he's talking about for those who go contrary. Amen. That cause you not to be partakers. The same way, guess what, y'all? Jesus drank of the cup, right? Acts 27, what do we do? When? On what day? Now. When the Bible, let's go back, that's Romans 15, 4. Whatsoever things are written for, are written for our learning, right? Well, Jesus says, keep hold of the Sabbath. Didn't you not say that? The Sabbath day is a form of the Lord's day, am I right? Didn't you not mention Sunday? That on the Sabbath day was a day of what? To Canaan's land, we're on our way. That's a place of what? 40 days of wandering in wilderness till they can have what? Rest, am I right? To the promised land, am I right? So the point that I'm saying to this, see what I'm saying here, it's an antitype and relationship. The cup could be a good cup, or it could be a cup of indignation. But see, you got to understand, go back to what we're saying, who Jesus is. See, I am Jesus of who? And very few people do that when you take something and put over Jesus. Amen. When you add to or take away from, or when you say, well, Sunday morning when the whole church come together in one place, that's not important. It is important. It's important, same way in the Old Testament it was important. It's important because that's when we commemorate what Jesus did, amen, when he drank up the cup, amen, that you and I may have the right to the tree of life. Y'all understand what I'm saying? But when you don't know who Jesus is, to realize that he's the first and the last, well, what he's saying here, well, that's what's going to happen to you. Y'all with me? Let's go to 16 real quick. And I want you to see what he's saying here. 16:19. Because in 16:19, look what he says here. He says, and the great city was divided into three parts. All right? Think about what we said. God said, you can have no other God before what? You can't have no other God before me, amen. I'm a jealous God, amen. And the great city was divided in three parts, and the cities of the nations failed. The great Babylon came in, remember, before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereon was exceedingly great. Y'all understand what he's saying here? Why? Because of a rejection. When you reject to drink of the cup, amen, it's an antitype. See? Same thing we studied in James, right? Submit, resist, draw. To be humble, to be lifted up, amen. That if we can partake, that is the spirit. Of 1 Corinthians 6:19, am I right? See, you understand what I'm saying? And that's the point that I think that we should see in relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. Go ahead, bro. That's it. That we do it. They refer to it away. See, go to Matthew 26. You see it again. See. Start reading in verse 26. All right? I'm going to just read down, okay? I want you to see what he said here. All right? It says here, and he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to the disciples and said, drink ye all of it. Right? For this is my blood of the New Testament, right? Which is shed for many for the remission of sin. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's what? Kingdom. Amen. Now we'll look at verse 30. And when they had sung and played a hymn. What? Let me read it again. Y'all with me? And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you in Galilee. And Peter answered and said to him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Look at verse 34. And Jesus said unto thee that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me what? Twice. Now do me a favor. Write this down by that verse there, 26 and 34. Write Mark 14, 72. And Luke 22:62. And then Matthew 26:75. Because we're going to see this down the road a little bit more. The indignation of Peter, the human side of Peter in relationship, because Peter, we go back to John, the human side of Peter, and when you begin reading him, and go with me back to verse 10. Because in John 18:10, old Peter, having a sword, and by the word sword, right, Hebrews 4:12. What you laughing about, Brother Fred? Because see, if Peter had the right mindset, what you laughing at, brother? But see, Peter, see, you got to understand, in spite of what we have done in life, regardless of how bad we've been, think about this now. If you go back and look at Peter's life, even in Jesus in Matthew 16, after he made that proclamation, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Go back and I want you to see it right quick. I want you to see Peter, because see, Peter was something else, man. I want you to just see this man, just like us, man. Peter, Matthew 16, and we know verse 18, right? Am I right? Yeah, and I'm not going to read all that, but I want you to see Peter. Beginning in verse 20, all right? Because in verse 20, he said, then charged his disciples that they should not tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus showing to his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem. Isaiah 2:2, he had to go and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. He had to drink the cup. He had to drink it. Now look what he said. Then Peter took him. He gonna have the audacity to rebuke Jesus, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Where have he been? Peter had been with him for 3 years. You understand what I'm saying? But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, what? Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but those things be of men. Now, here, the audience that Jesus is talking to is a Jewish audience. So they understood the 39. Now, go to Mark. See, Mark gonna give another account. But see, Mark gonna make the proclamation. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Mark 8. Go to Mark chapter 8. Because see, in Mark chapter 8, he says something different. Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse 32. Because in Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse 32, he says something altogether different. All right? See, because in verse number 31, now John says the same thing in John 18, right? This Mark's account, right? Then you see Matthew's account, am I right? In Luke 22, 47, going to see Luke account, amen. You'll see all four different accounts of what's going on, right? Y'all with me? You ever give them to you again? Because see, y'all see all four different accounts. You got Mark 16 account. You got Luke 22 account. You got Mark 8 account. And we in John 18, am I right? We see all four synopses of the gospel. Even though they say the same thing, but they say it differently. The reason why they say it differently, because they're addressing different parts. Mark is a Gentile audience. Matthew is a Jew audience. So look what he says here in verse number 31. Says the same thing. He said, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and other chief priests and shrines and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Amen. That's the death, burial, and resurrection. Am I right? And he spake them, saying, openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Same thing. And we had turned about and looked on his disciples. He rebuked Peter, saying, what? Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savest not the thing that be of God, but the thing that be of what? See, he can understand carnality versus spirituality. But go back. Now go back and think. Because, see, he had been with Jesus from the inception. Right? Jesus had preached for 3 years. Am I right? Taught for 3 years. Am I right? Because you go back to John. Go back to John. And we jumped around a little bit, but I'm going to show you what he said here. See, go back to John 18. Because you go back to John 18, he tells you. See, go back to John 18. See? And begin reading in verse number 19. When the Bible said, the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. And Jesus answered him, he said, I spoke openly to the world. I even taught in the synagogue and in the temple, where the Jews always resort. And in secret, have I said what? Nothing. He told them what they've been doing. Amen. But they still didn't understand. So he asked the question, why ask thou me? Ask them which heard me. What I said unto them, behold, they know what I said. Because it wasn't no secret. But Peter, here we go again, go back to Peter. Peter and the Holy Spirit here is showing us we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Amen. He's showing us a human side of a man, but even though we all sin and fall short, God can still do what? Use us. Because in spite of all this here, see, even the prophecy that he going to deny him how many times? 3 times. And when the cock crow, he said, then you'll know what you did. He still repented and God used him to further the gospel. Go ahead. Yeah. 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 Well, that comes about, like you said here, a human side, but it comes about because of ignorance. And ignorance comes about because you don't study to show yourself approved unto God. Because we shouldn't be ignorant, because we all got the perfect law of liberty. See, none of us should be ignorant. I'm believing. Amen. Because see, as newborn babe desire, amen, teach them to observe all things that I've commanded. It's a responsibility that we all have to do what in order to understand what is the will of the Lord so that we won't be unwise. Now, let's go back and look at this Peter case. See, Peter case was that he just didn't know because he didn't understand the spiritual side versus the carnal side. See, they knew Jesus was coming. They knew a king was going to come. They've been looking for a king based on the promise to Abraham in Genesis 12:1. Then thou seed shall all nations of earth be blessed. See, they knew that. They knew a king was going to come. They knew a king was promised. but they could not see it in a spiritual sense. It's like today. The people want to make the church a carnal church. You can't make the church a carnal church. It's a spiritual church. So you can't make the church a carnal. So the church want to do things that's not the church's responsibility. Certain things not going to get you to heaven. Basketball teams don't get you to heaven. Things that serve the flesh don't get you to heaven. All things got to be done in spirit and in what? So that you can have understanding, amen, so you can understand what is the will of the Lord, so you can know. So you won't be ignorant. That's the reason why, James 1:25, he gave you the perfect law of liberty. Now go back to Peter. See, Peter was carnal. What he did when he cut that man's ear off. Some people say, well, Peter must have been left-handed. Peter must have been right-handed. Peter must have been standing behind him. We don't know what sword he used. It don't make no difference. Because he ain't supposed to have used it. Jesus already told him, I am he. You with Jesus, man. Am I right? You don't have to worry about nothing. He said, I come to drink the cup. What y'all going to do, forbid me that I not drink it? He ain't have to do nothing. Because see, what was happening is it was fulfilling a prophecy. So why in the world you going to take a sword and cut somebody off? Anything, you should have been using the sword, the spirit of the word of God. Hebrews 4:12. See, same thing with us. See, we don't have to fight folks nowadays. You ain't got to knock nobody out. We got a king of kings going to fight our battles for us. Amen. Amen. If God be for us, who what? My God shall supply all our needs. Amen. All you got to do is understand to know in order to be transformed. That's all you got to know. Why are you going to sit here and want to fuss with people for and fight with people and threaten people for? You know worse than Peter cutting that man ear off. Am I right? See? And it still didn't do him no good. Because three times they came up to him and said, are you with this man, Jesus? Mm. Go ahead, Sean. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. That's right. That's it. And then too, when we read that and look at Peter and look at his actions, I think the Holy Spirit put it there to demonstrate the humanity of man. You understand what I'm saying? That is that in spite of how much we say we love the Lord, we still sin and fall short. Amen. See, a lot of times, if we don't think we wrong, you're not going to never be able to correct. See, if you think you're so holy that you can't do wrong, you can't never make correction. See, sometimes they build up these men to be preachers or bishops or whatever they want to call them, and people look at them in such a way that when they do something or fall off their pedestal, everybody around them are so devastated. Because, see, they're looking at the wrong somebody. Because they're not I am he. See, because they're not him. But when you look at that, and when we see Peter, even in the different cases that we see in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and look at Peter's life, and look at what he did, see, in spite of. See, one good thing about Peter, at least Peter knew the power of repentance. Judas didn't. Judas didn't have the power. Even though John did not mention that Judas kissed Jesus. When they asked the question, where are he? See, we don't have it in here. But the other accounts do. That's it. But through Peter's action, I think when we think about Romans 15:4, what's the thing they were in the fourth time? I think that's a good lesson for us to learn. You know, not to ever get so, you know. Because see, if you ever get that way, and when you don't feel like there is no wrong, how you gonna make it right? You can't do it. Amen. Or you can become so judgmental to other people that you just point your finger at other people. See, you can have a bad attitude that you can block out humility. And you don't want to do that. And I think that's a point that we need to understand. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah, that's it. Well, 2 Corinthians 13:5, one of the most powerful scriptures that to me. It's called examination. I mean, examination should be done every day, sometimes two or three times a day. Amen? And the reason why I'm saying that, because what good is the blood when you don't utilize the blood? What good is the cup when you don't see the importance of the cup? See, what good is it? Why did he leave it? What good is a perfect law of liberty when you don't have time to study? Hear people say, well, if I find time. People say, if I find time, I will submit. Say, no. See, right there, that showed me something wrong with that fruit. Amen. See, because see, when you ain't got time, or when you don't see the importance, see, why do it? See, your mindset is not right. You understand what I'm saying? So sometimes what I'm saying is, see, examination is there. That's grace is sufficient. See, who allowed you to make a mistake and correct it? Unlimited. Amen. We have a tendency to say, I'm going to forgive you, but don't you do it no more. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? See, a lot of times we put people on probation. I'm watching you. You better not do it no more. Jesus forgives and forgives. Through the blood, amen. But that examination ain't no good. The examination is no good when you are perfect. You understand what I'm saying? See, so we're imperfect through the cup that we drink, through the blood that forgives, that we may have the right to the tree of life. You with me? See, and that's the lesson that we can learn, that we all have sin. Sure we do. Amen. But when we sin, we don't blaspheme with it. Don't mock him. See, don't mock God. See, don't be lukewarm. You're either hot or just leave him alone. You gonna do it? Just leave it alone. See, man, read the book of Leviticus, man. That's a man. When I was reading, I got scared. The reason why is because we complain about what's in the grace and truth. How would you have liked to live back then? That was tough, wasn't it? And you think he was playing? Do you think he was playing? Did you read of some of the consequences that God put on the children of Israel when they murmured or when they complained? I mean, how would you have liked the snake to bit you? How many died? 26,000? Was it 26,000? That what it was? Until they complained to Moses, all right, I'll give you a second chance. But you see what I'm saying? See, that's really Acts 17:30, the time God winked at ignorant, but now he commands. See, because see, and then that coming gonna be sharing. The price was just too high, folks. Amen. We're going to see throughout the rest of these chapters when we ever get through them. What Jesus went through to drink that cup. And when you go back and cross-reference with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, look at all three, four different accounts, and look at it and see. That's something, man. That's something to see. Last comment. Go ahead, my brother. Yeah? Maybe he was sorry they got caught. That's it. But see, godless sorrow will bring about what? That's the point. See, even though he may have been. See, a lot of people in jail, sorry they're in there until they get out. They go back and do the same thing. You know what I'm saying? See, so that's the point. See, a lot of us do things, don't we? And we hate we did them until we get a chance to do it again. Y'all with me? And that's the difference that Sean talked about. What that First Corinthians was, Sean? Second Corinthians what? Okay. And you need to go back and look at that and what he's saying there. And see, that's the difference. But see, he didn't have to. He didn't have to. See, same thing with us today. See, when we all have sinned, right? See, and we fall short of the glory of God. See, God could have been through with Peter. Amen. But there was a difference. See, he repented. See, same thing with us. We sinned. See, but and God not through with us. Amen. But let me clear it up. We don't mock God. And that's a difference. Amen. That is doing it over and over again. See, you got to come ye out from among them, be ye separate, said the Lord, touch not, taste not, 2 Corinthians 6:14 through on. See, that is through examination of 2 Corinthians 13:5, you learn. Amen. From it, through understanding what is the will of the Lord, so you can know it ought to be what? Transformed. And those three powerful points there, okay? Next week we're gonna pick up with what the old boy name in John 18, the high priest. What's his name? Annas. Then go to his son-in-law. And he had five other sons. And all of them worth a quarter. And none of them had no guts. But thank God they didn't. Amen. They were a high priest. Yeah, of the Jews. Yeah. Yeah. But let's go back to what he said. Y'all listen to what he said. But see, you would think that these men, because see, Annas, the lineage that went from him just didn't start in AD, it just didn't start in 6 when he became the high priest. I think go all the way back. You go back. I tell you what you do. Go back and look at him and go all the way back to Ishmael. And look at him and pick him up and see what his lineage is. But see, you see all this that we're seeing that week. It happened, folks, that all of God's will it be done. Amen. Man, that's something. Wow. Ain't it good to be saved? Boy, that's something else, ain't it? All right. Appreciate you so much. Let's continue to pray you one for now. Good to see all y'all tonight. Come on back Sunday morning. And come on back Saturday. We'll be at Rise.